Paddy Power shops are back open, and with them, the return of a massive racing offer. We're giving best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples. All UK and Irish racing, all shops, all day. Limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Ask in shops for more details. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Tom Collins and Paddy Powers, Frank Hickey. Looking ahead to some decent racing yet again. We've got TV action on both Saturday and Sunday. Goodwood is the common thread on both days. It's joined on Saturday by a new market and an unfamiliar course to most terrestrial TV viewers in Windsor. And then on Sunday, we've got a real treat because beautiful Perth. Last week, we had Cartmel, which unfortunately was rainy, but hopefully viewers still got a chance to realise how lovely that course is. And Perth, I've never been, but must go to Perth. That looks great. And that is in the terrestrial TV spotlight as well. So that will be good. Keith, you're a Scot. Have you been to Perth? Is it as nice as it looks on the telly?
It certainly is. I went lots of times. I went to, it was my nearest course when I went to university in Fife and wasn't too far away. And I always used to go for the festival when I should have been revising for my exams. It's a smashing little track.
Yeah, it does look good. We will get to Perth races. But first of all, let's do the four ITV races. It's on the main channel from Goodwood on Saturday. The first of which is the 150. It's the Ladbrokes Prestige Stakes. It's a Group 3 for fillies. And Happy Romance, having won the big sales race the other day, heads the market, Frank.
Yeah, we're actually joint favourites, Happy Romance and Pomelo at 9-4. Isabella Giles, 4-1. Prado, 5-1. Seattle Rock, 9-1. And Thank You Next, 10-1.
Keith, first thing I want to say is I was playing golf with Kills the other day and we were trying to rack our brains to think of a decent horse that's won one of these massive sales races that's gone on to be a real proper top-notch three-year-old and upwards. And we really did struggle. Can you think of any?
No, I can't.
I think the best we got was Tiggy Wiggy, but she didn't really train on massively, did she?
No, she won good races at three. She was the only one that I had in mind as well. Obviously, we were on Racing Post Live talking about Mum's Tipple, how he looked he was going to be that horse and then didn't. But I think maybe he's a demonstration of part of the reason why you get that. You sometimes have horses that, you know, it was almost like a breeze up, these sort of races sometimes. And these very sort of forward fizzed up horses maybe don't have the improvement in them.
Okay, so Happy Romance obviously is that horse up against the one raced Pomelo from King Race Stable. Well, are you going to go for one of the favourites or look elsewhere, Keith?
I think one of the favourites. Happy Romance, I'm not entirely sure about 7 furlongs, especially on soft ground, even if it is at Goodwood. There was a distinct whiff of Pomelo. Now, the form isn't up to much at Newbury last time, for a Newbury novice anyway, but there was a distinct whiff of good horse about that, I thought. I think she is the one in the field that looks like she could have a sort of 105 plus performance in her at 7 furlongs. I know Happy Romance sort of has that over shorter. I think she's a bit faster than that, and I think I'd be very interested in Pomelo.
Okay, Pomelo then for Keith. Now, poor old Tom has been a real pain in the backside for bookmakers all since lockdown began, with his sensational tips, particularly in America. But it's poor old Tom who's in pain today, isn't it? You're doing this postcast potentially with one of our funny accents like that because you've got toothache, haven't you? And then you're off. What time's your appointment today with the dentist?
Yeah, the appointment's this evening at about 6 p.m. Got the latest appointment after I finished my shift. The wisdom teeth are coming through. So, yeah, in pain, but hopefully still able to tip a few winners.
Coming in, who's going to win this?
Yeah, I'm with Keith. I like Pomelo as well. I have to side with her after her first easy success, 5-length victory. Harry Bentley said that she didn't even come out of third gear that day at Newbury. She's a tall filly, scopey sort. She's really unfurnished. I think she'll be better over a mile or further next year, but she has the speed for this trip at the moment. I think she can remain unbeaten. And if there is a Group 1 horse in this race, which was allocated in as a question in the Saturday jury, I think it's probably Pomelo.
Thank you, Tom. Frank, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, full house, Bruce, I'm with the lads there in Pomelo. Like, Happy Romance, a horse I like, and I think she will get 7 furlongs eventually, but it's just stepping up to 7 furlongs on soft ground and that combination being an unknown. I think Pomelo, while the form isn't earth-shattering, the second and third were second subsequently in races, and the fifth, Cream of the Crop, won like a bad enough race up in Catterick. So there's a small bit of substance to the form, and she was very impressive the way she won at Newmarket. So I'm just going to have to step up, but I think she's well capable of doing that. Rafe Beckett won this race 2 years ago with Antonio De Vega as well.
Excellent stuff. We're off and running with three votes for King Wraith's Pomelo in the 150. Let's move on to the 225 at Goodwood's, the Brian Chataway, celebrating 50 years at Ladbrokes Handicap. So over 7 furlongs, plenty of runners. Will anyone fall into the trap of calling it Monoski rather than Monoski, which is what it should be pronounced? Let's have a show of betting and Frank's tip.
Breath of Air is 130, Magical Wish 9-2, Battered 5-1, Jack's Point 13-2, Card Sharp 15-2. Oh, This Is Us 8-1, along with Alamara Talium and Monoski. And you put you that in my head before I ever started, Bruce.
You did brilliantly with the previous one and then messed up on Monoski. It's Monoski, one water ski. Anyway, more importantly, who wins? Can King Wraith win this as well?
I don't think so. I was really keen on Alamara Talium and Stuart Williams. This horse hasn't run that well this year, really. Had 5 runs, 4 were really poor, but 1 was excellent at Epsom, and 3rd, beating a length over 7 furlongs off a mark at 93. He really does relish testing ground. Hasn't got it yet this year. Last year, he bolted up one of those valuable claiming handicaps over a mile at Goodwood off a mark of 90. Now, that day, he easily beat Glenn Shiel, who was running off 100, and beat him 4 lengths. Glenn Shiel's won 2 Group 3s, 1 at the Curragh and 1 at Newcastle this year. So there was a bit of substance to that form, even though it was only a relatively valuable claiming handicap. His next run after was when he was 3rd at York off 97 over a mile on soft ground. He's running here off 91. Like you said, 7 starts on ground, officially soft or worse. And he's had 4 wins, a 2nd, a 3rd, and a 4th. The 40s have been beaten in those 7 races, 2.5 lengths. So I just think at the prices, I've had a few quid in him there early this morning. He was a double figure price. I think it's starting to dry up, but he's still around the 8 or 9 to 1 mark, which I think is really fair.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Alamara Talium. Who are you going to go for, Keith?
I've not got a particularly sort of strong view in this one. I have got half an eye on Cards Harp, if we're in the mispronouncing names business. He's done a really good mark now. He's not actually running as badly as the position suggests, but it's not a particularly strong view.
You love Cardshot. You're always putting him up, aren't you?
Well, he's one of these horses that, I mean, it's typical Johnson, and he is quite likeable. It's just a case of getting the right day.
Okie dokie. Who are you going to go for, Tom?
Yeah, I think this will be a second winner for Rafe Beckett. With Battered, he's yet to score in 8 races for current connections, but he's coming to the boil based on his last 2 runs. Didn't quite stay 7.5 furlongs last time. The drop in triple help. He's down to a mark of 87 from a mark of 99 when he joined Rafe Beckett. The handicap has been lenient recently. He's a winner at this track on soft ground for former connections. That came off a mark of 91. £4 lower here, and I think he's one of the better bets of the afternoon, about 5-1.
Excellent. Well done, Tom. Battered for Tom. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock, the Ladbrokes March Stakes. A Group 3 run in the memory of John Dunlop over 1.6 miles. And it's soft ground. And by the way, just in case you wanted a view of what the ground is likely to be all weekend, certainly going to be soft at Goodwood. We'd expect it there to be cut absolutely everywhere. There's rain forecast on and off for most of the country. So if you're really ground sensitive as a punter, do keep your eye on the latest forecasts. And obviously at the Racing Post, if you go onto racingpost.com, on the homepage, there's a really helpful button there that says going and non-runners, and it spells it all out for you. So keep an eye on that. Let's see now. Only 4 runners here, Frank, but it's reasonably close in the betting, isn't it?
Yeah, Cabaletta is currently 11-8 favourite. Subjective is 6-4. Celtic Art 9-2, and Table Mountain 15-2.
And Tom, who wins?
Well, I thought this was a pretty difficult race to assess, but the only pace angle in here is Subjectivist. So I'm going to have to side with Mark Johnson's colt. He's a typical hardened 3-year-old for the stable. He put together 4 brilliant runs to start the year, achieving improving 3-figure RPRs on each occasion, and then was perhaps sent for home a bit early in the Gordon Stakes on his penultimate start at this track when he was a gallant 3rd behind Mogul. He looked the winner for much of that race, but was then caught in the final 100 yards. York didn't suit last time in the Great Voltigeur. Obviously, he's back after a quick turnaround, only 10 days. But Johnson's done this plenty of times before. He looks the lone speed. Maybe he can steal it off the front.
Frank?
Yeah, I'd be with Tom here. Exact same reasons as he's going to get an easy time in front. Mark Johnson won this last year with Sir Ron Priestley, who was coming through handicaps, similar to Subjectivist. Second in the ledger in the end. I'd forgive him, York. He was very slow out of the gates and rushed up into the lead. His run at Goodwood previous to that, when he was only beaten a length and a half by Mogul, is probably the best form on offer here. And with him just likely to get an easy time in front. I think he can give Matt Johnson back-to-back wins in the race.
And Keith, do you agree with the lads?
Well, I agree that the only danger to Cabaletta is subjective is making it off the front, but I think Cabaletta will prove to be a significantly better horse under these conditions, so I'll be backing her. She's out of Allegretto by a Master Craftsman, going to be a really smart stayer. I really like that Newbury form still, and you know, getting beat off Enbahar is no disgrace really at the stage she's at. I don't have any questions about stamina. I think she'll be the better horse, but the only thing that stops me having a decent bet at 11-8 is that danger that subjectivist nicks it.
Okay. Right, let's move on to the race of the day as far as Goodwood is concerned. It's the 3:35 and it's the Ladbrokes Celebration Mile. A group two over, surprise, surprise, a mile. Seven runners, fairly closely matched, some old favourites here, really competitive. Can't wait to see who the lads fancy. First, let's get a show from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Ben Baffles 2-1, Regal Reality 11-4, Duke of Hazzard 5-1, Century Dream 11-2, Urban Icon 8-1, and we are 17-2 bar.
It's an interesting puzzle, Keith, isn't it? You can have the first crack at solving it.
Well, the first thing to say is that we record this on Friday and Ben Baffles' participation is under question. If it's soft, apparently he won't run. They're going to take a look at what happens after racing today, whether he runs or not. And I know he's flopped on heavy. I've never seen reason to think he wouldn't act on just soft ground. I think he is easily the likeliest winner if he's ready for this race. I don't like Regal Reality's form so much. That race at Goodwood last time, Salisbury last time, sorry, was a real muck about early doors, and that's what he does a little bit. He looks like a Group 1 horse against Group 3 horses, and then as soon as he faces Group 1 horses, he looks like a Group 3 horse. Ben Battle is a Group 1 horse, even over a mile. I think the emphasis on stamina at a mile at Goodwood will be in his favour. So if he runs, I think he's a decent bet.
What if he doesn't run?
Duke of Hazzard, probably. I would, for very similar reasons, I'd chuck out that Salisbury run. He pulled too hard off a really steady pace. Goodwood records, unblemished apart from finishing second to Space Blues, who won the Maurice de Guise about 2 weeks later. So I think he is a wrong price if Ben Battle doesn't run.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Tom, who are you going to go for here?
Yeah, well, I think the ground's gone for Ben Battle. I'll be surprised if he runs. If he does, I'll be taking him on. I don't think the layoff's an issue. He's got a great record when fresh, but he's just got form figures of 6-0 in testing conditions, and it's just not for me at the prices. I like Century Dream, who will definitely love the give underfoot. Six of his eight wins have been on good to soft or worse. The trip is spot on. James Doyle's won on him before, two starts ago. No problems with the track either. He's a well-balanced individual who's won previously at Epsom. So Century Dream for me at the prices.
And for Frank.
Yeah, I'd be keen to take on Ben Battle with the forecast ground. And I actually liked Regal Reality. I thought the visor worked at him the last day. While it wasn't the strongest group three up in Salisbury, Sovereign Stakes, I thought he'd done it really impressively, very easily. If the visor works again, he's won on soft ground. If you go back to his debut, he actually won on soft ground at Yarmouth. And he's won at the track as well. And I just thought, drop back to mine really seemed to suit him. And then I think he might be able to follow up, actually.
One thing I would say about Ben Battle on the ground is that the twice he's been beaten on what we're calling testing ground, it was grim. You know, it's heavy, Haydock heavy ground, Ascot end of season heavy ground at the Champions Day last year. Remember, the horse isn't really tested on soft ground. He's tested in a bog when he's flopped, and all the rest of his form is on sort of goodish. Or I think he's got good to soft form as well, but I think the idea of the mud has maybe been overplayed because it's been extremely testing when he's run under these conditions.
Okay, well, I mean, it's perfectly possible we will get a dry period with a bit of wind and the downs might dry out. So a very interesting race there. And we've got another one we're going to do next. It's a listed race up at Newmarket.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome back. Let's look at the 2:05 at Newmarket, which is their one race on ITV on Saturday. It's the Close Brothers Hopeful Stakes. Listed race over 6 furlongs and good old Summer Gang. Probably my favourite flat horse at the moment. That brilliant Stewards Cup win last time. He heads the market. What price is he now, Frank?
Yeah, he's 11-4. This is our MBS race, money back. If your horse finishes second, third, or fourth for a tenner. Josh at the moment is 9-2 second favourite. Sunday Star 6-1. Raucous and Ventura Rebel are 7-1. Watan 10-1. And we're 12s bar.
And don't forget, as we always say, if Frank ever gives you news of a money back special like that or extra places, they're available at Paddy Power and also on the Racing Post app. Frank, do you think Summergan can step up? Does he need to step up much to win this?
Not really. Like a replication of the Stewards' Cup win would probably be good enough. Like, he does handle soft ground. I'm not sure if he's absolutely, you know, wants it. Is that ideal for him? And the one I'd be taking a chance on, maybe might have a small bit each way in him, is Raucous. He's third in on the ratings at 106, which is like £7 behind Summergant. Josh is second in at 109. But he won this race last year. He's 2 from 3 on the July course. He's won on soft ground and has won. Last year, he was actually in great form. He was fourth in the Walkium, third in the Stewards' Cup. Won this and sent fourth in the Group 3 Benbow Stakes at Ascot. Ali Rawlinson's back on board. He rode him last year when he won this race. And just the price, I'd take a chance on him. I wouldn't like Josh at all. I think he's going to be a fair bit bigger by the time that's repriced up this evening. I think Raucous, Ventura Rebel will shorten up a good deal.
Okay, thank you very much. I think Keith is happy for us to pass him on this. He's got no strong view. Do you have a strong view, Tom?
Not a strong view, but I think a value play here on Watan at 10-1, as Frank said. He had good form early in his career. He finished second in the Acom at 2. He wasn't beaten far by Too Darn Hot in the Prix Jean Prat last year when 6th either. He travelled powerfully on his reappearance when 2nd to Handicap Blot Nahar. And then last time, the Stewards' Cup didn't really seem to suit. He finished 14th. He wasn't beaten far, just over 4 lengths. He was really strong at the finish. He just was never in contention. He'll be strong at the finish again here. I think he probably needs to step up and trip in time. This is the easiest task for some time. Richard Hannon having spot on. The ground has no concern. So I think Watan at 10-1 is a good each way play.
Okay, many thanks for that, Tom. Let's whiz over to Windsor, which makes a rare appearance on ITV screens with a couple of races. The first of which is the 240, the Gallagher Group August Stakes, a listed race over a mile, 3.5, and some old favourites here slugging out against each other yet again. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, Desmond Counter's favourite at the moment at 5-2. Alunac 3-1. Ladon de V 7-2. Sextant 11-2. Floating Artist 7-1. And Communique is 8-1.
Okay. I know one of these races at Windsor excites you, Keith. Is it this one or the next one?
It's the next one.
Okay. Does this excite you enough for you to proffer a selection or an opinion?
No, I mean, if you want to play the sort of Johnson bouncing backline, Communique's best form this year would have him favourite. And after a couple of stinkers, he's 9-1. But that is about the length of any juice I could see in this race.
Okay, does it excite you any more, Tom?
Well, there's a precautionary inspection at Windsor at 6:30 a.m. So hopefully they go ahead. Because if they do, I really like Desert Encounter in this race. I think 5-2 is great value as a favourite. He's going to be one of my punt selections. He won this race back in 2018. David Simcock, the trainer of Desert Encounter, also won it last year with Raqib Al-Hawa. This would have been his target before potentially heading out for the international at Woodbine, which he's won for the last 2 years. He ran a really nice race last time when 2nd at Glorious Goodwood. He travelled really powerfully, just didn't go through with his effort at the end. He's 3 from 3 at Windsor. I think 5-2 is a great price.
Okay, Tom tips on the punt every week. Check out racingpost.com for how to access that. Frank, who's your selection?
Yeah, Ladon de V for me. He was behind Desert Encounter at Goodwood the last day in the Glorious Stakes, but he got no run at all. He only got out in probably the last 3 quarters of a furlong. And I think had he got a clear run, he definitely would have finished in front of Desert Encounter. I think he might have even have won. He handled soft ground no problem. He ran really well at Ascot in the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes and in the Old Newton Cup, both in soft ground, finishing 4th and both off a mark of 101. There's question marks about everything in this race. He's just the one that's improving at the moment. And even though he's a little bit defined on the ratings, I think he might well be up to it.
Okay, 6 runners there, and also 6 runners in the other televised Windsor race. It's the 3:15, the Gallagher Group Winter Hill Stakes, Group 3 over a mile and 2. Spin us through the betting, Frank.
Fox Chairman's 5-4, Extra Elusive 7-2, King Oscar also 7-2, Sinjari 6-1, Tin and Dali 12-1, and Sky Defender is 14-1.
Coming in, Keith, you've got one for us. Who is it?
Yeah, I really like Sinjari. The John Smith's Cup that he won on his reappearance, you see where he came from to win that. You see how he pulled clear with Certain Lad, and you see how Certain Lad has won the Strensall Stakes last week. That form looks really good. The two that pulled clear are clearly miles ahead of the rest, and this horse did really well to win. So in a race where, you know, there's a lot of more of the same around a lot of these runners, and they do set a higher standard than he's used to, I think he is very much on the upgrade, and at 6-1 when he should be right on the shoulders of the market leaders is far too big a price.
Okay, Keith unleashes one there, charges down the track and takes a big swing at Sinjari. Will he hit that one out of the ground? Tom, do you agree with Keith, or are you going to look elsewhere?
I'm scared of Sinjari, very much so. He won over this course and distance, and as Keith said, he was very good at York last time. But I've got to stick with Tin and Dali at a huge price, purely because I put him up as my eye catcher on the last two postcards I've been on. He's coming from the rear in these huge field handicaps that have been dominated by front runners. He was the only horse to make significant ground from behind it, Glorious Goodwood, behind May Danny last time. He's been bought by a prominent Aussie owner, so it wouldn't be a surprise if he's racing over there sooner rather than later. Connection is going to have a crack at a Group 3 before he potentially moves down to Southern Hemisphere. I think 12-1 is an insult. He's got a real good turn of foot. This smaller field might help as well because he's just been so far back. Maybe if he's closer to the front runners, he can run them down at a big price.
Cool. The Racing Post boys are very confident. Keith loves Sinjari at 6-1. And Tom Collins says that 12-1 Tin and Dali is an insult. Frank, what have you got to say?
I am afraid of Sinjari. I thought he was very good in the John Smith's Cup, but I find it difficult to look beyond the favourite Fox Chairman here. I know he's plenty short enough. Soft ground's absolutely ideal for him. If you go back to last year, he was second in the Hampton Court Stakes behind Sangarius. Got just a terrible run through that day. Everything went wrong and he was very unlucky not to finish a good deal closer. He followed up then by winning at listed level at Newbury, beating Pondus. Found a mile too short on good soft ground in the Queen Anne at Royal Ascot. But he did come into the ball and he was third, beating half a length of Sandown in the listed race and good to firm ground, probably lively enough for him. And then he was second in the Group 2 York Stakes behind Aspetar. But as I said, the return to even softer ground here, Windsor definitely suit him. And while a few have a bit to find with him on ratings, if he can run to anywhere near his rating, he'll take a fair step up from the rest to beat him.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, gents. That's the TV action done and dusted. Before we get the naps, let's see if there's anything else the lads fancy away from the glare of the ITV cameras. They're also racing on Saturday at Redcar and also over in Ireland at Navan and Wexford. Frank, have you got anything for us?
Yeah, I have two in Goodwood, the 4:45, the 9 furlong handicap. Kryptos, I thought was very high catching at Chester over 10 traveled like an absolute dream that day. Probably didn't see it out as well as he looked like he was going to. He was only beaten a neck by Lone Ranger. He's gone up a pound for that run. But if you go back, he's had nearly 3 years off the track before coming back this season. When he was last seen in 2017, I thought he was going to make up into horse that would win the Lincoln. And his last start before getting injured, he absolutely bolted up at Doncaster over a mile and good to soft ground off of Marky 95. He's running here off 89. I think 9 furlongs is going to be ideal in soft ground. And just with Janaku in here, he'll be favoured after winning probably a stronger race at the Glorious meeting. Kryptos might be around the 7 or 8 to 1 mark, and I think if he's around that price, I definitely have a few quid each way in him. And over at Navan in the 5:05, the mile and 5 furlong listed stakes, Galileo Chrome looks like a horse going places. He was very well backed at a second start at the Curragh in June, won that day, staying on strongly, got up close to the line. The race worked out particularly well. Subsequent Group 3 winner Dawn Rising, or Group 3 second Dawn Rising, was behind him that day, as was the Derby winner Serpentine. He bolted up at Leopardstown the last day, beating the 93 rated Master of Fox, getting £3 off him, but absolutely destroyed him. That was over 10 furlongs. He looks like he's going to improve for stepping up again, and I'd say he's a horse that can take this on way to winning a group race before the year is out.
Thank you very much, Frank. Keith, what have you got for us?
Just the one in the nightcap at Redcar, 7:45. It's a staying race. Billy Nomates has run twice over 2 miles and has both times come from the rear and steadily run races at Beverley and Ripon, which are tracks that are particularly sort of nasty to that type of tactics. He runs at Redcar now. He's won in soft ground before. He's got a pool with Scientific, who's got a much shorter price. I think 7-1 is a very fair bet.
Cheers, Keith. Tom, anything for us?
Yeah, two. One at Goodwood, which is Rosemary in Time in the 1:15. She's been well back both starts for Hugh Morrison, which you don't often see with his young horses, as he often brings them on for each run. She ran a really nice race on debut at this track and then pulled too hard last time out at Newbury when weakening later on. She's still learning, but the drop in trip should suit and she can make it third time lucky. And then it wouldn't be a postcard if I didn't mention a US fancy, would it? So in the Grade 1 Sword Dancer Stakes, the 10:46 at Saratoga, fancy Pedro Cara. It's an eight-runner field, perfect for each-way punting, looks wide open on the market. The morning line has this ex-French-trained runner priced up at 10-1. I think currently 9-1, Bet365, we were the only ones to have the race priced up so far. Our only start in the US was a very good second behind David Simcock's Spanish Mission in the Belmont Derby in September last year. She pushed that rival all the way. She was sent off at 38-1. She finished miles clear of the third. Two runs in Qatar since, won the Doha Derby and penultimate outing. Now she makes her debut for Grey in Motion, Lasix applied, triple suit, rain soft and turf ideal. More of a 5-1 poke, 9-1 or 10-1 on the morning line, far too big.
Lovely stuff. Tom is the US guru. I've said it before, but he really is absolutely mustard. Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Frank Hickey.
Goodwood 225, Alamara Talium.
Okay. You do pronounce that very well, but it's a ridiculous name for a racehorse, isn't it? Honestly, why do they do it? Who are you going to go for, Keith?
Sinjari, 315 Windsor.
Thank you very much. And Tom?
I'll go for the prices, Watan, 205 Newmarket.
Good man. Those are the Saturday naps. Let's get the Sunday selections next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Tom Collins, Keith Melrose, and from Paddy Power, the great Frank Hickey. Let's look at Sunday's TV action. It's on ITV3. There's four races at Goodwood and a lovely treat. Three races up at beautiful Schoon Palace in Perth. And I'm basically just going to throw the floor over to the lads and tell us whoever they fancy. We'll start with Keith Melrose. Keith, who are your TV crackers for Sunday?
I'm really excited about Perth being on the telly in the two chases that are on ITV. I've got a fancy. One of them is disappearing before our eyes, unfortunately. Scar Jura is in the 205. It's one of those, I don't like the, I'm sure the handicappers don't like it either, the BHA thing about not raising non-winners in novice chases. If he had been allowed to be raised for his second to Longhouse Sale at Stratford, he'd be up about £10 higher than 127. He jumped really well. If anything, a touch to the right, so Perth won't be an issue for him at all. I can't see him beating on merit, frankly, of 127 in this race. He was 2-1 when I looked this morning, already in the 13-8. I think he'll go off even shorter, but I really do quite fancy him. And in the Perth Gold Cup, I'm going to play it a bit differently here. It's a big summer handicap.
315.
315, yep, that's the chap. It's on, and there's only one horse in here that I think's got really proper form, and that's Soupy Soups, who was second and probably should have won the Badger Ales in November there. And I think in his two runs so far this year has been building up to something, shall we say. And he won at Perth, he won over course and distance really quite easily last September too. And there's also, I think Red Giant has also been lined up for a go at something at Perth, given he won at the festival last April and has had a couple of runs since the resumption. And again, both of them just looked like a horse that is going to be better for those runs. So 14 Soupy Soup, 33's Red Giant, couple them up, and I'll probably, that's how I'll play the Perth Gold Cup.
Thank you very much, Keith. Nothing at Goodwood from you?
No, if you really force me on the big race, I'd put up Escobar, but I probably won't even back him, so I can't put him up.
No one is ever being forced to have a tip or a bet. Tom, I'm sure you've got plenty for us, though, and I reckon you might be focusing on Goodwood.
Yes, two at Goodwood. The first one in the feature, the Supreme Stakes at 3:35. I think Happy Power has a good chance. Run well both starts of this track. Wouldn't have liked the ground last time, but deserved to win on form and somehow produced the goods. Was well punted. I was quite surprised at that because Happy Power likes giving the ground and it was rattling fast that day. Back to ideal conditions underfoot. Think he has a good chance in a tricky race. And then the other fancy is in the 2:25 at Goodwood, which is Atalanta's Boy. Put a line through that Stewards' Cup run because he was extremely slowly away. He lost about 10 lengths at the start. Never in contention, just eased at the finish. Still somehow beat two home. Previous efforts stack up really well in this company. He's a core specialist at this track. Goes best in testing conditions. Can make amends under Tom Greatrex. Atalanta's Boy is a confident selection.
Thank you, Tom. Frank, who do you like on Sunday?
Funnily enough, I have two and they've both been mentioned. The first is Atalanta's Boy. So if you remember back to the Stewards Cup podcast, Bruce, I put him up for that and I had a right bet in him at 25-1 and he was a late gamble. He went off 11-1. And as Tom's already said there, he missed the break 10 lengths and it was all over straight away. It was very depressing. But like as Tom said, he's won at Goodwood and bought his starts off March 66 and 75. When he went off 75, it was heavy grounds, testing grounds, no issue for him. Provided he breaks well here, I think he should go very close. And the other one, Keith has mentioned, and that's the 205 Scardua. This is a horse, he caught the eye a little bit on debut at Galway in the maiden hurdle. I remember myself and Niall were on him at big prices at Listowel, and he was a big gamble and pulled out a couple of hours before the race. Then we were disgusted. Then when he went to Taunton and bolted up in his first start for Neil on Holland. As Keith's already said, he looks very well handicapped off a mark of 127, and I think he'll take an awful lot of beating.
Excellent. Thank you.
We're going to get 94 there, does it?
No, I don't think so, no. So if you're listening to this, you might need to act rapidly to get the price on Scardura in the 205 at Perth. Right, we know you love to have your Trixies and your Patents and your each-way trebles on the lads' naps. So we'll get the Sunday naps and we'll start with Tom Collins.
Yeah, the Sunday nap is Atalanta's boy, 225 at Goodwood. I think he's a certainty in that race if he breaks on terms.
I think I'm going to make life very difficult for Frank here because I'm going to go to Keith next.
Well, yeah, if you're looking for one horse to put up, it would be Scardura. I am actually even a bit more excited about how I am playing the Perth Gold Cup. But if you're asking for one for your Trixie, it's Scardura in the 205.
Frank, have we stolen every last bit of thunder?
Just put the two of them in a double and a bit more.
That sounds like the right advice. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Tom, I hope things go well at the dentist. I hope all three of your tips run well. And guys, thank you very much for listening. Let's hope you have a decent weekend. Don't forget, do please gamble responsibly. And also, if you do like these shows, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Maddie's back on Monday, where she'll be looking back on this weekend's action and also looking ahead to next weekend, which we will look at in greater detail next Friday. The highlight is the Sprint Cup up at Haydock. So we hope you can join us for that. Have a great weekend.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.